Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 7. Further inquiries by Vidura, text 21. Shristva Gre Mahat Adini, Savekaranunu Kramat. Tebhyo virajam udhritya shristva, after creating, agre, in the beginning, mahat adini, the total material energy, savakarani, along with the sense organs, anukramat, by a gradual process of differentiation, Tebhya, out of that. Virajam, the gigantic universal form. Udhritya, manifested. Tam, unto that. Anu, later. Pravishat, entered. Vibhu, the supreme. Translation. After creating the total material energy, the bhattattva, and thereby manifesting the gigantic universal form with senses and sense organs, the Supreme Lord entered within. Purport. Fully satisfied by the answers of the sage Maitreya, Vidura wanted to understand the remaining portion of the creative function of the Lord, and he took the clue from the previous topics. Om Gyanachirmadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Go Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This chapter is about the personal method for acquiring knowledge. Vidura is inquiring of Maitreya. The system of inquiry is not like some kind of dry academic process. The system of inquiry is one of intense personalism by the medium of rendering devotional service. In this Bhagavatam system of inquiry, the attitude is very important. By the proper consciousness of the one who inquires, the answers can be understood. This is why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states, Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya. If you actually want to know the truth, then you have to have the proper methodology. You have to have the proper process. That proper process is the approach. Inquire submissively, Pariprasnena Sevaya, with service. Then, if you approach the right person, you can understand. The Bhagavatam system of knowledge, acquiring knowledge, is one of, first, approaching the right person, and secondly, approaching the right person in the right way. So much of the Bhagavatam is training you to do that. How to get the answers of life by finding the right person to ask. And once you find the right person, still your task is not over. Your mission is not complete. Once you find the right person, you have to approach that right person in the right way. So this is the Bhagavatam's process for acquiring knowledge. It is not the same as in a mundane educational system where you memorize what the teacher tells you and you prepare for exams. No, the Bhagavatam's system for acquiring and assimilating knowledge is one of personalism, in which the more Krishna conscious your attitude is in making inquiries, the more you'll be able to understand what you hear. This is why we have a twofold program. Side by side with attempts to understand Krishna are our attempts to engage our senses in Krishna's service. Of course, it is true that inquiries about Krishna are also service, hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's why at the end of this chapter, after Vidura makes a long string of questions, Maitreya is going to show his happiness at hearing these questions, because the questions of Vidura give Maitreya a chance to glorify Krishna. Every real devotee knows how to seize the opportunity to speak of Krishna's glories. That's actually what it means to be a devotee. You long for those opportunities. They are the essence of life. Any chance to speak of Krishna's glories. You may think yourself just a young devotee, but if someone approaches you with questions about what is the goal of life, if someone approaches you with questions about Krishna, then you should take it as such a rare opportunity for glorifying Krishna. You don't know how many lifetimes, you don't know how that person who's asking such questions has rotated in the cycle of repeated birth and death, and now finally they're asking someone about the absolute truth. What is the purpose of life? Who is Krishna? So you treat those questions with your full compassion, humility. Even if you think you don't know much, all you can say is, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, that is big preaching. Srila Prabhupada spoke like that about one at the time. Young daughter of a devotee. She was 5 years old. She would just go up to people and say, do you know who Krishna is? And the person would say, no. And she would reply simply, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada said, this is big preaching. So the point is, everyone, whether you're a new devotee or senior Vaishnava, should feel enlivened about a chance to glorify Krishna. You're getting that point from this chapter. At the end, you'll hear, thus the chief of the sages, that's Maitreya, who is always enthusiastic about describing topics regarding the personality of Godhead, began to narrate the descriptive explanation of the Puranas, being so infused by Vidura. He was very much enlivened by speaking on the transcendental activities of the Lord. So, this is one of the points we're making. Maitreya felt infused. He felt enthusiastic by the way Vidura was approaching him. He felt inspired to speak transcendental knowledge. And because Maitreya felt inspired by the attitude and the way Vidura approaches him. That helps Vidura to understand what Maitreya will say. So this is bhakti mysticism. Mysticism in this case, meaning not something nebulous and unknown, but something that is beyond the material explanation for how things should work. How it is that your attitude is directly affecting what you can understand. The last thing in this chapter that Vidura says to Maitreya before Maitreya begins to reply is, O spotless one, your answers to all these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. Such charity is greater than all Vedic charities, sacrifices, penances, and so forth. So, just think, what kind of questions could these be? How many times do people ask questions that will grant them immunity from all material miseries? This is the unique nature of Bhagavad Dharma, the science of the Supreme. There are questions that you can ask which will lead to your freedom from material suffering if you're approaching the right person in the right way. The people don't know this, that there are questions they should be asking, and there are right persons they should be asking, and it is the right attitude to have while asking. All that will lead to their immunity from all material suffering. People who know about health are concerned with their immune system. When the weather is changing back and forth rapidly from hot to cold, or especially in the middle of the winter when it's rainy and cold, the immunity systems go down. You can hear everyone coughing and sniffling. But what about your immunity system in terms of material existence? In terms of the threefold miseries of material existence? Is there such a way to boost your immune system so that material existence doesn't drag you down? And Vidura is showing that there is a process for that. There's a way. Ask the right questions. Because those right questions will lead to the right answers. Why? Because you're not just asking anyone any old way. Again, you're asking the right person in the right way. Therefore, the answers to these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. And Vidura considers this to be charity. He's asking Maitreya for the charity of hearing transcendental knowledge. He says, such charity is greater than all Vedic charities, sacrifices, and penances. What to speak of the ordinary material attempts at charity that people do today. Vidura is asking for charity that's beyond even Vedic charity, which is very precisely designed for elevation to the heavenly planets. Vedic charity is not just like what giving to some soup kitchen or giving to some cancer or heart fund. Now, Vedic charity is very precisely devised. And there are methods of sacrifice. There are proper ways and times of giving charity, appropriate persons to give charity to. Of course, no one knows anything about that today. Nevertheless, even greater than Vedic charity and sacrifice is hearing the answers the right answers to the right questions. This chapter began with Vidura asking about the relation between the spirit soul and the material energy. Is there any real contact between the two? The basic premise of the bhakti knowledge is asango hyayam purusha. There's actually never a contact between matter and spirit. Simply, you imagine that there's a contact. So what is it about you that imagines there's a contact between matter and spirit? It is the ahankar, the false ego. That is the material part of your makeup, the part of your material makeup responsible for getting you to think that you are this body and mind. Often you meet people who say that they are spiritual, they're not all material, but their vision of their identity is completely mixed up. They cannot discriminate between the affairs of the spirit soul and the affairs of the body and mind. This is because of the false ego. The false ego convinces you that, number one, there's no spiritual identity, or number two, that your spiritual identity is mixed up with your material identity, when actually, asango hyayam purusha, there is no contact between your spiritual identity and your material coverings. Simply the magic of the false ego conjures up an hallucination in which you think there's a connection. Vidura wanted clarification about all that. Does the spirit soul suffer? What actually is material suffering? Have you ever thought about that? You don't want to materially suffer, but what actually is material suffering that we're all trying to avoid? So, in his questions to Maitreya, Vidura is giving knowledge. As I like to point out, this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. The knowledge is not simply coming from the answers. Even embedded in the questions is knowledge. So, Vidura asks, pure soul is pure consciousness and never out of such pure consciousness. How then can someone be in Maya? If we are pure spirit soul, how is it that we seem to suffer? We seem to go through material ordeals and tribulations. And of course, the answer given in this chapter is that the miseries of the living entities, the suffering, is all external. It's managed by the illusory energy of Krishna. There's actually never any suffering for the spirit soul. In one purport, the example is given of a teacher wanting to discipline a naughty student. So the teacher tells the student that if you keep misbehaving, I'm going to cut off your head and put it at the front of the classroom. And then you'll see. You shouldn't behave in this way. Now, of course, if your head is actually cut off, how can you see? The teacher is just making an arrangement so that the naughty student will understand that he or she should properly behave. So this is what the external energy, this is what Maya does. The illusory energy of Krishna has the thankless task of harassing you until you finally understand that you're meant to serve Krishna. Jivera Swarupoya Krishnera Nityadas. That is your constitutional position. Until you accept that reality, that eternal reality, Sanatan Dharma, then you're going to be harassed and kicked by the external energy, which actually never touches you. But because you're identifying with matter through the false ego, because of the false ego, therefore you seem to suffer. But actually, the spirit soul remains fixed in its glories. That's why in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Atma, the spirit soul, is described as achala, fixed, immovable. Meaning, not that it doesn't go from one body to another, but regardless of the external circumstances, regardless of the transmigration of the soul, still that Atma is fixed in its spiritual integrity, never tainted by contact with the material energy. We simply suffer through imagining a contact with the external energy. It is impossible for us to be separate from Krishna. But the external energy of Krishna manages an illusion that causes us to think we're separate from Krishna. And why do we need to think we're separate from Krishna? Because we want to imitate Krishna as the controller and enjoyer. That requires living in an hallucination, living in a dream world. And that's the story of material existence. Otherwise, if you're fully conscious and fully aware that Krishna is the only controller and enjoyer, how could you ever think yourself to be one? So to give you a chance to experience delusion due to misuse of your independence, the dream of material existence is created. That's why you can actually say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has not created the material world, or that he is the secondary creator of the material world. You could say that the primary creator of the material world is the desire of the living entity. The perverted desire is the primary creator of the material world. And Krishna, as the secondary creator, is simply fulfilling the perverted desires of the rebellious living entities. You could look at things from that angle. Vidura is asking in today's verse about the creation. He's showing that a devotee is not sentimental. A devotee wants to understand everything about the Supreme Absolute Truth. That means how the spiritual energy works, how the material energy works. What does it mean to be in Maya? What does it mean to be a liberated soul? Vidura wants to understand everything. And he's showing you that a devotee is eager to understand the science of the Supreme. Of course, in the topmost portion of the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's devotees, they don't want to understand his glories. They're not so much interested in trying to understand Krishna. Their main focus is simply to love Krishna. Krishna may be a demigod, he may be this, he may be that. We don't know, we don't care. All we know is that we love him unlimitedly. That's the topmost portion of the spiritual world. Actually, how can you understand Krishna fully? Impossible. How can you understand Krishna even partially? Krishna is unlimited. So on the one hand, a devotee is urged to understand the science of Krishna as it's given here, as much as you can. Then on the other hand, on the most advanced platform, a devotee is not concerned whether Krishna is God or what is Krishna. Simply the devotee loves Krishna. That is Vrindavan, where everyone is unlimitedly in love with Krishna. The cows, the trees, the flowers, the people, the Jamuna River, the hills, everyone is conscious and everyone is unlimitedly attracted to Krishna. That is life at the conclusion of Vedic knowledge. Vedanta, the end of all Vedic knowledge, means love is the ultimate reality. Not the perverted love of the material world, but Shuddha Bhakti, the pure love between Krishna and his devotees who have no material motivation. This chapter is very important because, first of all, as we said, it establishes that actually the living entity does not suffer. This is important because any compassionate person cannot fail to be moved by the sufferings of people in the world. Yet, what is a compassionate person supposed to do about all that suffering? Maybe that suffering is not happening at the present moment where you're located. But you can be sure that in so many places of the world, people are undergoing horrible material situations. Of course, what actually is a horrible material situation? Lord Chaitanya makes this point in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. When you try to materially discriminate, this is a good material situation, this is a bad material situation, you've missed the point. It's all bad. Because the material energy is being viewed by you as separate from Krishna. Therefore, how can you distinguish that this is a good part of the illusion, this is a bad part of the illusion? Lord Chaitanya is saying, get rid of the illusion completely. Don't waste your lifetime discriminating, distinguishing, whether as a professor, whether as a scientist, or a government leader. Don't waste your whole life discriminating. This is good illusion, this is bad illusion. Vidura is showing you the process, how to ask the right person in the right way. And in that way, the material influence will diminish upon you. And you feel that conviction in this chapter. You feel those dynamics. It's a very active and potent chapter in terms of relaying the effects of approaching the parampara. Vidura says, I'm certain that by serving your lotus feet, all my doubts will become cleared and the way forward in spiritual development will be open to me. I'm certain. By rendering service to you, I'll be able to understand what you're saying. I'm certain of that. And he, Vidura, glorifies the association of devotees who are able to grant progress back to Godhead. In yesterday's verse, he says, persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100%
in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities. Our great fortune is to be in contact with the greatest fund of knowledge. An even greater fortune than that is to be in a community of devotees dedicated to applying that knowledge. In this way, if we take very seriously understanding Krishna and loving Krishna through devotional service, certainly we'll be able to wake up from the perverted material illusion of thinking we're separate from Krishna and that something is more important than Krishna's service. First of all, to be sure you have the right attitude in devotional service means understanding your unlimitedly great fortune. Just to get to do any kind of devotional service. Sometimes you can think, what is the nature of this miracle that I'm involved in? It's the miracle of devotional service. Krishna doesn't give devotional service out very easily because by it he can be conquered. But because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the most unqualified persons get a chance to engage in the most confidential activity, the loving devotional service of Krishna. So always meditate on that miraculously good fortune you have. Gratitude. Every morning, wake up thankful that you have a chance to engage in Krishna's service in the association of devotees. We should always be on guard not to become mechanical and stone-like as we go about our day. The heart should be soft with gratitude that I can't believe I have this opportunity. How did I get this? I don't deserve it. When we're gruff and stone-like, we become very insensitive toward devotees, toward service opportunities. We want our hearts to melt with gratitude. Without gratitude, how can we make further progress? At least be thankful. I don't deserve this. How is it that I have this opportunity? What happened that one moment you were faithfully serving the illusory energy, the next moment you have a chance to engage in the confidential, loving service of Krishna. What happened? You should think about that. Go over in your mind the steps that led to your having the opportunity to escape the material energy. What happened? And always be grateful for anyone who's helped you to advance in spiritual life. Never let that person forget what they have done for you. The more the gratitude increases amongst the devotees, the more the community of devotees is able to see the glories of devotional service. Because devotional service is a miracle, you appreciate anyone who's helped you. You feel grateful for anyone who's helped you connect to that miracle. So the first part of having the proper attitude is gratitude. Yes. Is it really difficult to give up material attachments? It's difficult if you're always holding on to them while while trying to give them up. We're not so much focused on trying to give up material attachments. We're focused on trying to become attached to Krishna. In the process of trying to become attached to Krishna, it's natural that you'll let go of material attachments. We are not so great that we can just think about, I'm going to give up this, I'm going to give up that. We are not very strong in this age of Kali. But if we think, I'm going to become more attached to chanting Hare Krishna, I'm going to be more attached to the association of devotees, I'm going to be more attached to giving others Krishna, then you'll see that material attachments automatically slide away. Because to pursue your goal of serving Krishna better, you see, oh, this gets in the way. That gets in the way. I don't want it. And naturally you do away with those things. You let them fall to the side. Because you have your goal of serving Krishna. That's why every devotee should have some challenge, some service that makes you think that unless I become more pure, I can never do this service properly. That was Prabhupada's managemental philosophy. Every devotee should feel challenged in Krishna's service. Challenge doesn't mean it's beyond your intellectual capacity or beyond your physical capacity. We're not talking about those kind of challenges. No. What Srila Prabhupada meant by every devotee feeling challenged was something else. He meant that you look at the service and you think, unless I become more Krishna conscious, how am I going to do this properly? So that is our focus. Not so much like trying to pull out teeth with your hand. I've got to give up this. I've got to give up that. But no, how can I serve Krishna better? How can I chant more and chant better? And so much of our program is simply chanting and dancing. While you're chanting and dancing in the kirtan, are you engaging in material attachments? Lord Chaitanya's program is so simple yet magnificent that sometimes we fail to actually appreciate what's going on. That simply by chanting and dancing, you're becoming free from material existence. Who can object to such a program? Of course, in order to understand the value of that chanting and dancing, knowledge helps. Therefore, we have so many books. So just focus on adding more Krishna to your life. And automatically, the material attachments will slide away. When you have something better, it's easy to see what is inferior. But when you don't have anything better, that which is inferior seems so big and special. Oh, how can I give that up? But when you have something better, then, oh, who cares for that? Who cares for that inferior thing? So our focus is how to get something better. Not that all day long we're battling, I have to give this up. Oh, material.
attachments. I notice sometimes devotees get into the International Society for Anartha Consciousness. They ask questions all the time. What about this anartha? What about that anartha? How to get rid of anarthas? They become so possessed by that. It's one of the first words that, you know, new devotees learn. Anarthas. Late at night while you're sleeping, anarthas come creeping. What does Bhagavatam first canto say? Anartho pashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adokshade. The anarthas naturally slide away by engagement in devotional service, by the linking process of bhakti, which links you to Krishna. The problem is the masses of the people don't know this, and therefore they suffer unnecessarily in the false dream of material existence. Yes. Ask questions what? I'm sorry.
People have a tendency to ask questions and to get information from, from different sources. How should a devotee act or speak so that guests or the people who are not introduced to Krishna consciousness ask devotee the questions rather than asking someone else or something?
First of all, devotees have to grant their association. Devotees have to be accessible so that there are contact points available so that people can experience devotees. And then by the wonderful qualities of devotees, people want to ask questions. People want to inquire because they're attracted by the qualities of the devotees. But first of all, the devotees have to be accessible. Otherwise, how will people ever experience the sublime qualities of devotees? So our program is twofold: spreading contact points with devotees, and number two, increasing the wonderful qualities of the devotees. And that will cause people to open up and ask questions. Yes?
You mentioned that we should have the right attitude of service and be grateful for service. Some of us, many of us, like the students, working,
that is explained by Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita. He asks you to be conscious of him. No matter what you're doing, be conscious of Krishna. Of course, if you're doing something for Krishna, it is easy to be conscious of Krishna. Not that you just do anything and then you're thinking how to be conscious of Krishna. No, you're not acting as proprietor of the world. You're acting as the servant of Krishna, recognizing that everything belongs to Krishna. So naturally you'll think of Krishna. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "In all activities depend upon him. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of him." That means you're always thinking, Krishna is the enjoyer. I am the one who is rendering service. This disease of trying to be the enjoyer is so powerful. It's been with us for so many lifetimes and so many bodies. Yet,
never forget that bhakti is more powerful than the material disease of trying to be the enjoyer. Sometimes we become distressed. Oh, I'll never get over this. Right? I'll never get beyond thinking I'm the enjoyer. The body has a long track record, lifetime after lifetime, of accumulated lusts, angers, greeds, and madnesses, and enviousness, and illusions. It's all packed into the material body. And you may sometimes feel discouraged. I'll never get out of this. But that's why we have daily attendance at Bhagavatam class. By associating with the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna, you remember that Krishna is more powerful than his illusory energy. Otherwise, sometimes you can feel hopeless in bhakti. Oh, I'll never get over these things. Oh. But as soon as you associate with the hearing and chanting process, especially as soon as you try to give Krishna to others, you see that there is the power of Krishna's internal potency, his spiritual potency, which far exceeds anything the illusory energy can do. And that's what makes you convinced. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Let there be all glories to the chanting, the spreading of Krishna's glories. Everyone needs to experience on a daily basis that Param Vijayate, that supreme victory. Then you have life, utsaha, enthusiasm, because you are experiencing the victory. Not that every day you're going around moaning about an artist. We are mindful, of course, of bad characteristics that get in the way of our service to Krishna. But mostly we're focused upon how to serve Krishna better. So when Krishna says, in all activities, be fully conscious of him, it means that you are aware of all aspects of his service. Not that you space out in doing whatever you're doing while visualizing the four-handed form of Vishnu. If the service is for Krishna, you're attentive to all the details. You become expert in all the details. That's what Krishna means when he says, in all activities, fully depend on me, be fully conscious of me. You always think, I'm doing this for Krishna. Of course, a devotee always thinks that actually I'm not directly serving Krishna. I am assisting the parampara. The pujaris never should think that they're serving Krishna directly. Now I'm on the altar, it's just me and Sri Sri Radha Bala. No, the pujaris should always think, I'm serving my spiritual master, who's serving his spiritual master. And in this way, through parampara, I'm approaching the deities. Let's remember the conviction of Vidura in approaching Maitreya. But, my dear sir, I am obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance, although it appears real. I am confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false idea.